ज्ञानेन्द्रियाधनं जना शवाकय चक्षुरुन्मृतं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामायं ददाति सपदन्तिकम् पञ्चकौपातुरुजश्च कृपासिन्धुभयेव च पतितानं पापनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रियाद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदे गौर भक्तवृन्द। What verse again, Henry?
Verse 32.
Okay. Thank you. Somehow it has cooperated. Okay, reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 9, Text 32. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Matiya Vadusita Devai Patabir Asahishnuvi Yanarda Bachastatyam Nagrahisham Vasattama. Translation. Since all the demigods who are situated in the higher planetary systems will have to come down again, they are all envious of my being elevated to Vaikuntha Loka by devotional service. Those intolerant demigods have disputed, dissipated my intelligence, and only for this reason could I not accept the genuine benediction of the instructions of the sage Narada. Om Jnana Timanandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Taksu Unmulatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupakadhamayam Tadati Sapadantikam Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayeva Cha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudev Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Greetings from Govardhan and Kartik. You really have to excuse me. I'll only be able to go about 25 minutes. When I came to Govardhan, somehow my Indian phone refused to call out. And also the internet. So I'm kind of a bit isolated here, and the people that helped me are in Vrindavan. I couldn't coordinate it, so I have to use my American phone. I didn't know how much it would cost until I got the bill today, and it's quite expensive, so I'll have to, about your time, about 9:30. It's been fantastic here. Thank you all for coming on. The energy here is amazing. We had such a Govardhan puja. We got a key to the park opposite Govardhan Hill, and we had such an incredible Govardhan puja, practically on the hill, but there's like a dirt hill that goes up, so you didn't stand on the rock. And Prabhupada's disappearance festival, I sat for 5 hours. I was from 8 to almost 1:30. I didn't look at my watch once. There was such every, it's almost as every offering was better than the next. And here in Govardhan, although the big celebration is Vrindavan, where Prabhupada disappeared, we get quite a good group of people, including Borijan Prabhu and Brahmatirtha Prabhu came out. Dear Krishna Maharaj, Satchinandana Swami, and a few other luminaries. You know, I remember Borijan Prabhu was made such an interesting point that change will come. The world changes rapidly, and you really have to be on your toes to apply the principles of Krishna consciousness. Because the circumstances in which you are executing Krishna consciousness don't stay. And therefore, Borijan said, change will come. And the point that he made, I think he was in a room with Prabhupada, and I think it was Shruti Kirti asked Prabhupada, well, how do you know what to change and what not to change? How do you know the difference between a principle, which is applicable in all circumstances, and a detail, which is applicable in a particular circumstance? And Borijan, the Prabhupada's answer was, it takes intelligence. It takes intelligence. And Borijan said, you know, unless you really, really hear all of the copious of Prabhupada's teachings, because Prabhupada will say one thing in one place and practically another thing in another place, and then they're in different contexts. But he said it's so important to hear, if you're going to be a leader, all of Prabhupada's tapes, read all of his books, so you actually get a sense of really what Prabhupada wanted, not just picking out particular instances. Remember the things that were spoken offhand. In fact, I just was cleaning up and threw out my notes, unfortunately. Now, this purport is, we're starting to see Dhruva Maharaj's regret, and that's really the beginning of spiritual life, is Pancha Samskara. When one takes initiation, the first is Tapa. It has to be a regret of the egocentric life. So important in spiritual life to have healthy regret. Otherwise, you won't change and you won't become humble. I know in my chanting, I take a chanting vrata, a vow, and now by the end of the month, I don't want it to end, and I don't think I'm going to end this time. I think I'm just going to keep on going. There's so many good reasons why. After all, Tara Madhye Sarva Shreshte Nama Sankirtan Nira Aparade Poyapai. There are 9 processes of devotional service, and chanting is the best. So I don't see why not to continue, rather than make time for it by cutting out other activities, especially ones that are not essential. But in my chanting, you do a lot, and you go deeper, and you do a lot more than other people are normally doing. Probably go deeper than other people are doing because it's Kartik, it's Govardhan Hill. And everything is perfect here for the change of consciousness. Even the food is ideal.
I've never tasted such ideal prasadam to spiritualize. So tasty, but sumptuous, not heavy. Amazing, actually. We're astounded by the cooks here. So it's good for the consciousness. I realize, you know, how important eating is in spiritual life. Because to maintain a meditative or contemplative lifestyle, you can't have surprises. You have to know what your body's doing and when. The digestion has to be right, and the consciousness has to be right. And here, everything is set up to that. That's all I have to do all day. The only thing I have to do is chant and live the lifestyle that supports that. And then the results are there. There's realizations that come. And there's definitely taste. There's definitely taste that comes. So in the chanting, one thing I noticed is that, as I mentioned this many times, the false ego is insidious. And it tries to grab you and drag you back to the center, which is false ego. And you go to the center, to be in the center or the controller, what you want is power. And you want to censor it yourself. So the tendency is always, when you're doing anything of worth, to contaminate it by using it instead of service and humility, enjoyment and pride. I see that. And I think what happens is when you actually have an opportunity to stay in one place and chant Hare Krishna and try to go a little deeper and embrace the meditative lifestyle, and quiet your mind, you're able to actually see more readily what's happening within your consciousness. So you can view the head of the false ego trying to grab your achievements in spiritual life and use them to material life. One of the six symptoms of Anishita Bhakti is bhakti itself. When you do bhakti and you're in a society of bhakti, then people will worship you, people will praise you. And whether the question is whether you take it for yourself and ruin your spiritual life, or offer it to Krishna and see yourself in a realistic way. To see yourself in a realistic way. So I see what happens is the false ego. But by the mercy of the holy name, I see another thing that happens. Because you're mindful enough not to want that. Not to want that thing. You actually understand that real pleasure is service to Krishna. And real pleasure is association with Krishna through his holy name. And real pleasure is not a thing, it's a bhava. It's not your world, it's the mood you are when you live in the world. And when you get some kind of conviction of that, then the holy name also serves you because it also brings other things up in your consciousness, like regret throughout your life, for how you may have treated people or how you may have acted or the things you've done, the mistakes you made. And maybe compassion will come up. You start legitimately thinking people suffering because they're not tasting the holy name. But here, it's so natural with Dhruva Maharaj. He's a kshatriya, he still has a little pride, but he blew it, and he realizes he blew it. And he feels horrible. Because he was asking for such insignificant things. And it is a fact that everything is insignificant in terms of pleasure and happiness to Krishna consciousness. Because it's consciousness. And what is that Krishna consciousness? It's Sri Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavato Mati. It is the mindset, the opinion, the mindset of Sri Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavato, of a mood of relationship with God. And that uncovers the eternal self. And no one can be in anything but a fearful condition if we don't have some sense of contact with our eternal self. No one. So Dhruva regretted this. And it's a very nice, it's the beginning of spiritual life, and it's a platform to really see where you are and not want to go there anymore. So, Dhruva, I guess maybe he's trying to rationalize as a kshatriya, it's too painful to admit that he's a fool. So now he's blaming the demigods, because the demigods control everything. They can treat the different activities, our limbs, you know, everything. He's saying it's their fault, because otherwise, how could I come to such a bad conclusion and not accept the genuine instructions of my teacher, who was promoting my welfare? So he's regretting it, and he's trying to figure out how he can be so foolish. And it is foolish. Do we want the pleasure of the mind, which is superficial? Or do we want the pleasure of the soul, which is real? And it's not only real, it's not just mental. It's actually the pleasure of God, which we share in, because the pleasure of God is love, and love needs a partner. And we are those partners. So we're sharing this pleasure potency of God. We're sharing this pleasure potency of God. And that has to be our goal. And that doesn't come unless we have a mood of seva. Because the mood of seva shows God our heart of wanting to be that partner in love. So seva is so important. And seva is not just an activity. Seva is a consciousness. Purport by Prabhupada in my 7 minutes that I have left, and I'm really sorry. I will go back to Vrindavan in 3 days. After a very special secret ceremony I've been privileged and invited to attend that I cannot reveal, but I will reveal it next Sunday. A very special function. Special invitation only to a select few who are sworn in confidentiality. So stay tuned for next week. As shown by many instances in the Vedic literature, when a person undergoes austerities, the demigods become very much perturbed because they are always afraid of losing their post as the predominating deities of the heavenly planets. They're pious. We're pious. But we're plagued with material consciousness and ego. And that means ending. Because if you want to be great, you've got to be greater than someone else. So we don't like people above. We like to keep people below. We're plagued. It is known to them that their position in the higher planetary system is impermanent. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, 9th chapter, Shine Punye Martha Lokam Vishanti. It is said in the Gita that after exhausting the results of their pious activities, all the demigods who are inhabitants of the higher planetary systems have to come back again to Earth. It is a fact that the demigods control the different activities of the limbs of our body. Factually, we are not free even moving our eyelids. Everything is controlled by them. Dhruva Maharaj's conclusion is that these demigods, being envious of the superior position in devotional service, conspired against him to pollute his intelligence. And although he was the disciple of a great Vaishnava, Narada Muni, he could not accept Narada's valid instructions. Now, Dhruva Maharaj regretted very much that he neglected these instructions. Narada Muni had asked him, "Why should you bother about insult or adoration from your stepmother?" He, of course, said to Dhruva Maharaj that since Dhruva was only a child, what did he have to do with such insults or adoration? But Dhruva Maharaj was determined to achieve the benediction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore Narada advised him to go back home for the time being, and in mature time he could try to practice devotional service. Dhruva Maharaj regretted that he rejected the advice of Narada and was adamant in asking him for something perishable, namely revenge against his stepmother for her insult and position of the kingdom of his father. Dhruva Maharaj regretted very much that he could not take seriously the instruction of his spiritual master and that his consciousness was therefore contaminated. Still, the Lord is so merciful that due to Dhruva's execution of devotional service, he offered Dhruva the ultimate goal. We have just enough time for a few people to say hello. And then I'll have to call. Then next week I should have my regular phone.
Hi, Krishna.
Anybody?
Uh-huh.
Thank you, Gail. No time for questions. I'm sorry.
No, I know. I just want to say that it was a wonderful point about happiness being a matter of consciousness, not activity or objects.
Thank you. Thank you. Good. Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Okay, we'll see you soon.
Great. Can't wait.
Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Okay, Chaitanya Priya, thank you. Who else is on today?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
This is Kishore Radha.
And Priya.
And Kishore.
Okay. Oh, Kishore too. Wonderful. Great. Good. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Tota Gopinath here.
Okay, we'll see you soon too. Who else is here?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Mukunda.
Mukunda, Haribo. Good.
Haribo Maharaj.
Okay, great. We got a steady group. A few more say hello. Anybody else? Okay, anybody else before I go? Okay, Haribo, bunch of culture.